I'm really glad to see you guys. It is so, so good seeing you. The person that's sitting behind you, well, it's going to be hard to do, because if you turn around, then they're going to turn around. Hey, do this. For Joe, and who's on the drums, and Chayton, who's playing the guitar, and Naomi, who's on the keyboards, can you guys just wave at them and say, love you so much? So much. I love you, Joey. Our worship team has done such a great job of inspiring us just to think about God, and there are words that come, and a few of the worship team members are up here on the front row. You got Amy, who just picked up this beautiful baby girl, and you've got Denise, her sister. Will you guys love on them? And finally, you guys can't see him, but our dear brother, faithful brother, Javier, is up making things happen. So you guys love on Javier. Love you, Hav. So, Dino was on the drum. Were you up there this morning? Dino, give it up for Dino. Give it up for Dino. You cannot have enough honor. And I'm not talking about honor that goes to God, where we get into hero worship as individuals, but just honor and value, appreciation for each other. And helping people to feel significant and valued, that's one of the staples, or the legs, the pillars in the culture of heaven. In the culture of heaven, there are things like God is good, God's goodness. That's in heaven. God's good. No matter what our society says, no matter what jokes come out, no matter what insurance companies deem as acts of God, destructive acts of God, God is good. In fact, one of the writers says, I would have given up had I not believed to see the goodness of God. He's good. That's one of the staples in heaven, in the culture of heaven. And remember, the goal is to bring heaven here. That's what Jesus prayed, and he declared, and he went preaching, thy kingdom come, thy will be done here, just like it is there. In the culture of heaven, God is good. So everywhere you go, you release God's goodness. You remind people of his goodness. Another pillar in the culture of heaven is that nothing is impossible. Jesus said, with God, all things. Everybody say all things. How many things does that include? All things. So all things are possible. Another pillar in the culture of heaven, the atmosphere of heaven that we bring here, is that the cross of Jesus Christ accomplished everything. Everything was fixed. And so problems don't come up now. We say, oh, now what are we going to do? God's going to have to send Jesus to die again. No, everything was fixed on the cross, which is why one of his closing statements before he released his spirit into the presence of the Father was, it is finished. It is finished. Everything is finished. Every price that needed to be paid, every hill that needed to be climbed, every authority that was given, and all the keys that needed to be taken back from Satan, who got them at the garden or in the garden, it was all finished at the cross. So, the culture of heaven, God is good. Nothing's impossible. The cross accomplished everything. And what led me into talking about all of this, the last one is, there are many others, but just these four I'm highlighting. Everyone is significant. Everyone. It doesn't mean that everyone is right. It just means everyone is significant. God cares about people. He cares about all people. Not just the church. In fact, he's got the church. The Bible says he loves the world. So even for people who don't know God, they are still significant to God, which is why he pursues them. And in this season, he is pursuing people through us, through his church. And people are gathered all over the world right now. Around this time, people are gathered, huddling up, remembering God's goodness, praising him for his grace and his love. These are God's people. Where is God's people at in this room? Raise your hand if you are considered God's, if you are considered in the kingdom of God. Now look around and see the amazing grace that exists on people from the heart of the Father. And so as you go, see the significance in people, not because of what they're doing or not doing, not because of performance, but because God created them and God loves them. And if you're in the family of God, he's your father, he loves you, remember who you are. If you're not in the family of God and you run into people who are not in the family of God, love them in. Love them in. Do like the song says, Jesus did for us. By the will of the Father. He looked beyond my faults and he saw my need. You guys know that song? Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise. For it was grace that what? Bought my liberty. I'll never know why Christ came to love me so. But he looked beyond my fault and he saw my need. That's how we treat people. Look beyond the fault, see the need. Bring God's grace. It doesn't mean you agree with wickedness and wrong and all of that. No, God is holy, but God is also loving. And he sends us to bring about his grace, that when they turn to him, he can fill them with a spirit that helps them to be more like him, to experience intimacy with him, and to ultimately serve him by serving others. That's what we do. It's always about others. Put your hand on your chest and say these words, Father, thank you for the way you love me. Thank you for seeing me as significant. Help me to love others in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's get into some teaching. We're coming on the heels of our baptism, which took place about a month ago. And we baptized in water, and then we started talking about what is it like to be baptized with the Spirit and experiencing ongoing life, real life coming from the Father God through the Spirit of God. Last week, we gave some scriptures out of Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Deuteronomy chapter 30, and he says, I'm going to put a choice before you. I set before you blessing and cursing, good and evil, life and death. Then he says, choose life so that you and your seed, generation, will live. There are choices that my mom and dad made that I'm reaping the benefits. It's because they made the choice to invite Jesus into their lives and into our family. We're always making choices. And he says, I'm giving you the choice blessings and curses, good and evil, life and death. And then he gives us the answer. He says, choose life. Choose life so that you and your seed can live. And I love it. And as I look around and I see so many individuals and families that you've made choices and their children are living. Their grandchildren are living. It's going on and on and on. We've got three sons. Pam and I have three sons. And they married, two of them married, two now our daughters. And in two of those marriages, more children. We have two granddaughters. And in the environment, they're teaching about God's goodness and God's grace. They're teaching identity. It gives us so much joy. It is so much joy to just see God's goodness flowing through our children. And it's because my parents and their parents before them and Pam's parents and parents before them, God's invited into our families. And there was a period where parts of the family didn't have God. And God's grace comes and light comes. It's a beautiful picture of what happens. And I want to encourage you, keep on laying out the culture and the atmosphere of God and his life and his goodness in your family. Invite the presence of God into your home all the time. And do it on purpose. Don't just say, oh, God knows and people know I'm a Christian. And No. On purpose. God told them, he says, I want you to remember three things. The commandments of God, the statutes of God, and the testimonies of God. The commandments of God teach you how to live. The statutes of God teach you how to think. And the testimonies of God, the miracles of God, teach you what to expect. What to expect. God just shows up. And sometimes there are these big, amazing events, and sometimes they're smaller, but it's still God's goodness. I was talking with one family, and they were saying how this guy had come out, the car was running. One of the daughters and the car was running outside, about to go to work, and guy comes down the street, jumps in the car, and is about to drive off. And God had circumstances and situations in such a way where the car wasn't stolen and nobody got hurt. Now, there are times when it works like that. And there are times when it hasn't worked like that. I know of situations where a guy comes out and gets in the car, and him and his wife, and then two teenagers come up, carjack the car. And next thing you know, it's driven off, and there is death in the middle of it. But out of that dark situation, life comes. God is glorified. People are coming to Jesus. There's always a way where God can get glory. There's always a way. And if we can invite him in and then pass on those testimonies, then the plans and the life and the goodness of God continue to flow. So Pastor Terry, how can goodness come out of a dark situation? I tell you all the time, my mom was 38 years old. She was 36 when she got cancer and 38 when she died. And I was only 13 years old. She's in the presence of the Lord. And here I am, well over 40 years later, 48 years later, and I'm leading people to Jesus. And we said, man, that's hard to take. It's hard to explain. It's hard to comprehend. That's why you got to stay close to the Father, so he can show you goodness in the middle of tragedy. Because I'm not that guy that's going to tell you that everything is going to be beautiful and everything is going to be wonderful and there's not going to be any problems. No, no. I'm going to tell you in the middle of all of that, that God is still good. And there's some things that I won't get until I see him face to face, but I will tell you, he is good. You guys receive that? Is good. It's important for us to release and show forth God's goodness every chance we get. And we have to be filled with that. You got to be filled with that. So we talk about being baptized and going down in water and then coming back up. It says, oh man, what a great event. No, it's more than that. I came up to new life. And now as I live every day, I want to live as though I gave my life to Jesus. I want to live every single day, all throughout the day, no matter what I'm doing, I want to live as though my life has been given to him and I am transformed for his goodness. Even if I'm going to the movies. Even if I'm on a plane. We were on a plane a couple weeks ago. We were on a plane last week, and no, 2 weeks ago, we were on a plane, and I'm sitting next to this lady, and the whole time I'm sitting next to her, I'm looking for ways, Lord, what do you want me to say to her? And I got my movie on, I got my iPad hooked to the back of the seat, and I'm watching my Alfred Hitchcock movie. I love Alfred Hitchcock. As my kids call them, the gray movies. Because they're in black and white. And the whole time I'm having a great time. I've given my mind and emotions over to the Holy Spirit so I can find out, what do you want me to say to her? Not the same race, not the same gender. I'm older. And she's from Canada. And I'm sitting there trying to find ways. So what's my first move? Pam gives me some gum. Pam's in a seat across the aisle, and she gives me gum. You know, so my ears aren't popping when the plane goes off and takes. So I'm looking for ways now. What do I do? Hey, would you like some gum? Whole strategy. Because I want the presence of God just to flow through my life. I've been baptized in water. And every day I want to be filled with his Spirit. And I'm on a plane, and I'm looking for a way to connect with this woman so that I can show forth God's goodness and grace. And I don't know what it's going to be. I don't know where he's going to lead it. Had no idea that by the time we landed, that I would find out that they just came from visiting her brother-in-law, who is at stage 4 pancreatic cancer. Had no idea. Had no idea that she and Pam and I would stand in the middle of the airport and we would release God's grace and God's goodness over her mother, filling her. That we invite her to come into the family of God, and she accepted all of it. Hey, does that mean that Terry and Pam are these amazing people? Absolutely not. It means that we are just carriers of God's grace, just like you're a carrier of God's grace, and you're a carrier of God's grace, and you're a carrier of God's grace, and you're a carrier of God's grace. Megan. Carriers of God's grace. And so water baptism is good. And it lets everybody know that you're a believer. And it helps you with your identity. But now we must live all the time being filled with the Spirit. Because you never know what's going to happen. And you don't know what places God is going to put you in. You don't have to be behind a lectern or a pulpit to be used by God. You don't have to be on a keyboard or play a guitar or drums. You don't have to sing songs for him because of the skill and the gift that he's given you. No. By virtue of the fact that he rescued you and changed you and saved you, he now wants to fill you. To be intimate with him, but also to be used by him. So everywhere you go, be willing to be filled with the Spirit. Now, there are going to be challenges because the Bible says there was a day when the sons of God came together and Satan came also. So just like the Father has a plan for you, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 that we fight principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and they come with temptations. They come with distractions. And so as many times as God may use you and desire to use you, there is this other force that wants to keep you at odds with your children, at odds with your spouse, want to lead you off, draw you away based on lustful desires that may be in your flesh. Anger and bitterness, unforgiveness. I'm just trying to show you and paint you a picture that when you talk about being filled with the Spirit, there are some other forces that are at work. And it's important for us to endure. Everybody say endure. Endure. That means keep on going when it's hard. Keep moving forward when it's difficult. And even this morning, in many of your lives, you've got difficulties. And those difficulties could be just you and your body and you and your mind, or you in relationships, or you with your finances, or things going on in your job, or your house, all kinds of things. How do you endure? How do you keep moving so that when you got immersed in the water in the pool behind me, or wherever you were when you got baptized, that it wasn't just for that day? In him I live. Hey, say this with me. Repeat it after me. Say, in him I live, I move, I exist, and I have my being. Oh, man. All the time. So I'm going to give you some pictures, some scriptures that paint pictures on how we should live a life of baptism. And today, we want to put in parentheses, exercising endurance. Exercising endurance. I'm going to give you some scriptures. And when I do, take out your phone, take a picture of it. Because the strength of what you get today is only going to be realized in your life if you go back and look at it again. You've got to look at it again. There are two types of Christians when it comes to looking at what God has said. You can be either, and you're going to write this down, which one are you? You can be a casual inquirer, or you can be a diligent seeker. Which one are you? A casual inquirer, that means that many times the only time I read my Bible is when I come here. It's a casual inquirer. That once I go home, I spend more time on all of the other apps than my Bible app. Casual inquirer, diligent seeker. There are 9 things every Christian ought to know. 9 things. Who God is. What God has. What God can do. Everybody say that. Say who God is. What God has. What God can do. Those are the first 3 things that every Christian, especially new Christians, ought to know. The next 3 things. Who I am. What I have, and what I can do. And that's not for pride or cockiness or to build your head up. No, it's just that I need to know my identity. So what are the first six things that every Christian ought to know? Who God is, come on with me, what God has. There you go. What's the next three? What I have, what I can do. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. I have the Spirit of God. I have authority over the enemy. I have an inheritance in God. I am beautiful. I am fearfully, wonderfully made, awesomely made. Not to make me think I'm somebody better than others, but I am the creation of God. And it's so important for me to know so that when God has me to pour into somebody else, I can help them to see that they're God's creation. Next three. There are nine things every Christian ought to know. Who God is, what God has, what God can do. Who I am, what I have, what I can do. Anybody want to guess on the next three? Who the devil is, what the devil has, and what the devil can do. You know what the answer is for those three? Nothing, nothing, nothing. He has no authority. He cannot move in my life if I resist him. He goes around seeking who he can devour. The Bible says resist him, steadfast in your faith, knowing that greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Everybody say that with me. Say, greater is he who is in me than who that is in the world. Let's say it again. Greater. Say it one more time. I'm looking at somebody while I'm sharing this, and their response looks like this. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. And she's getting it. And the reason she's smiling like that and nodding like that and her eyes are closed like that is because the enemy has tried to come. And God has reminded her of who he is and who she is. Remember who God is, what God has, what God can do, who you are, what you have, what you can do, and who the enemy is, what the enemy has, and what the enemy tries to do. Be a diligent seeker, not a casual inquirer. The casual inquirer will get defeated every time. You don't want to stand on the Word of God and look at the Word of God and hear the Father's opinion every now and then. Every now and then. A point of reference, Pam had surgery in October, real extensive surgery for those of you who are visiting or those of you who may not know about it. Pam had an extensive surgery. It was supposed to go 4.5 hours, ended up going 12 hours. Came out of the surgery, had to stay in the hospital for an extended period of time, had to go to a rehab for an extended period of time. And those are just the facts. The things that are somewhat nuanced is that every day waking up, trying to recover, trying to move, things aren't moving as quickly and getting back to normal. And then there's the attack of the enemy that comes with levels of depression and fear, bitterness, all kinds of things come. And what she has had to do on a consistent basis, even when it's hard, is take God's opinion and get it into her mind and let it drip down into her heart so that now with light coming out of her, she's able to move and breathe and do all of what God's called her to be. And I have seen her go from that progression. I've seen it. I've seen her press to remember what God said about her. That's why when Naomi sings a song this morning, take my mind, Take my heart and form it. take my mind, transform it, and then take my will and conform it to yours. To yours. But that takes words. It takes being diligent. It takes endurance. It takes pressing in when you don't feel like pressing in. How many have ever tried to press into God and they actually didn't feel like doing it? That's what happens. It's going to come. There's going to be pushback. And we can't just rely on the date or the certificate of when I got baptized in water. We can't even rely on the emotional experience that we may get in a service. We've got to know. One writer says in Scripture, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded. I'm fully persuaded. So let's look at the book of Ephesians. I'm going to give you passages of Scripture from Ephesians, from James, from Hebrews, and Hebrews will have two chapters. And I'll use different translations to bring about the clarity of it. Now, my preaching and my teaching, I say like Paul says, I'm not coming with enticing words of man's wisdom. I want to come in demonstration and in power of the Holy Spirit, which is founded in the Word of God. The Word of God is our firm foundation. And I'm not talking about thus saith this and thus saith. Get a translation where you can understand it. Like O'Grady, this young man over here who got born again a few months ago, got baptized about a month or so ago. And he says, can I have that New Living Translation so these words can come alive? Essentially is what he's saying. We don't get stuck at thous and these, although you stay on it long enough, the Holy Spirit will bring revelation. But thank God, the path of the righteous gets brighter and brighter, and thank God for new revelations and new translations. But when you get it, get into the Word of God. And get into the Word of God so that you can apply it. On Wednesday night, we were talking about the different kinds of Bibles that are out there. One of my favorite Bibles is a Bible called the Thompson Chain Reference Bible. And it gives you, through scripture and scripture and scripture and scripture, all of the same ideas and perspectives from heaven on whatever it is you're studying. And I want you to know, when you study the Bible, it doesn't mean that it's relegated to being a pastor or someone who's in seminary. No, every Christian, if you want success, you read your Bible. And you're not reading your Bible for performance. You're reading your Bible so the very opinion of God can get into your heart. So when it is time to stand, you can stand knowing you've got the very power of God behind you, in you, around you, for you. And that's what the Holy Spirit partners with. So if you're going to be filled with the Spirit, you're going to need to be filled with the Word. Jesus says, to the person who hears what I say and does them, they'll be like a man or a woman. Their lives is built on a rock. Their house, if you will be built on the rock. And when the storms come to beat on that house, they will stand because it's founded on a rock. But for those who hear my sayings and they don't do them, they don't take them to heart, then that house is built on the sand. And when the storms come, remember, storm comes to both houses. In fact, if you look around, there aren't different kinds of storms. There's a storm with your name on it. And there aren't Baptist storms or Presbyterian storms or Pentecostal storms, Lutheran storms, Catholic storms. No. There is a storm with your name on it and it's coming. That's not to make you afraid. That's just to let you know storms are coming. The question is, what's your foundation like? If your foundation is on the Word of God, then when the storm comes, then you'll still be standing. Put your hand on your chest and say, Father, help me to build my house in you, founded on the rock of the revelation of the Word of God, your opinion. Help me, Holy Spirit, fill me with the strength to walk it out. In Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to start at, we're going to read scripture for a little bit here. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to start at verse 17. Look what Paul says to this church who was baptized and even the power of the Spirit of God had come. Look what it says. With the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure, eagerly practicing every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Everybody say, learned about Christ. Ask yourself the question. Say, what have I learned about Christ? Verse 21, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, look at this now, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies. Look at the specifics now. He's getting in specifics. He doesn't just say things like live for God. See, baptism is one thing. Even those of you who may be filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues, that's one thing. But he is now saying specifics here. Stop telling lies. He didn't say stop telling big lies. Right? He says stop telling lies. He says, stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. Look at verse 26. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry. What does that mean? That means you were angry at 6 this morning, and now it's 11 o'clock, and you're going to bed. And you're still walking past him mad. You still are ignoring their phone calls when they call to apologize or to talk to you. Don't let the sun be up and down and you're still angry. What does that mean? I wrote a song years ago, and it's the title of the song is I Make Room for You. Make room for you. The presence of my God, to come and fill this place with your glory. I make room for you, the presence of my King, to come and fill this space with only you. And the theme of it, and it came out of a counseling session I was doing, the theme of it is, how much time exists where you got offended and you repented? How much time exists between a person that you're angry with and the time where you went about making peace? See, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, baptism in the Spirit, exercising endurance. Because if that period of time is longer, then you are more carnal than you are spiritual. So-and-so said something to you and you got mad. I've known relationships, Pam and I have coached in marriage, and we're talking about 3 weeks and the husband and the wife aren't speaking. 3 weeks. We're talking 2 years, and the brother and the sister are not on good terms. The amount of time that it takes for you to go from the offense to the repentance, the offense to the restoration, determines the level of spirituality that you're walking in. So if you're filled with the Spirit, then you want to have those three models with you all the time. Quick to repent, quick to forgive, quick to love. Everybody say those three. Do it again. Quick to repent, quick to forgive, quick to love. See, it's the amount of time. One of the bridges to the verses, I do a lot of my journaling in song. And so I'll write songs, and that's how God will speak to me. And so one of the bridges to the song says, or the bridge to the song says, now it's just going out of my head, but the whole synopsis is, I don't want to have a dove resting on my shoulder. I want to do everything I can so I don't shoo that dove away. And every step I take, I'm taking those steps, I'm making those decisions with the dove in mind. Now remember, the dove represents Holy Spirit. So I'm moving based on the dove. And I don't, and you've seen it wherever you are, whatever, especially in the city, you see pigeons. Pigeons aren't doves. You can walk right up to a pigeon. Pigeon's like, excuse me, and he's right there. Pigeons and raccoons, you know, they. But a dove, if you just make a move, that dove is. And you'll see as we read this passage, he says, look, don't grieve Holy Spirit. The things that you want to do realizing I'm filled with the Spirit. So the specifics of it, you find it in Ephesians chapter 4 because Paul gets very specific here. He says, don't lie. He says, don't be angry. And angry, and it's nothing wrong with getting angry if you're getting angry for the right things. But he says, don't get angry with someone else, and now the sun is up and it's down, and you're still hot, rage, bitterness, unforgiveness. We're talking about beyond baptism in water. We're talking about baptism in the Spirit. And the ultimate is, God wants to use you. So he started by talking about lying. He starts talking about anger. What's the next verse as we move forward? He says, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. I gave you a picture of that a little while ago. If the door is open a little bit and somebody's trying to get in, the first thing they try and do is get their foot in there. And I don't know, has anybody ever chased you around your house? Wave at me if somebody's chased you around your house. Just playing around or, you know. And you run into the room. I've done this since I was a little boy with my brothers and my sisters, and now I do it with my wife. And we're both chasing each other, and this is a good chase. Just so you know, this is a good chase. We're having fun. And she'll chase me, and she'll get, and as soon as I get there, I close the door, and I'm trying to close the door and put the lock on it. But man, she got her toe right there. And once the toe is there, if I can't get her toe out, then the foot. The Bible says anger gives the devil a foothold. It's a chance to get into the room. That's why every day Pam and I have to fill our house with the Spirit of God. We don't want any room for the enemy. And it's not just our physical house, it's also our lives. And I'm not telling you like we're these amazing people. No, we are flesh just like you. We are tempted just like you. The enemy comes at us just like you. The Bible says there's no temptation taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He's not going to let the enemy tempt you beyond what you are able to bear. And he's going to give you a way of escape so that you can deal with it. And it's all going to be by the power of the Spirit of God. He shows you doors. That's why you want to be quick to forgive, quick to repent, because those are doors. The Holy Spirit gives you opportunity. And if you're quick to repent, then he'll say, now do this. Now do this. I've had this happen in both scenarios. Pam and I, you know, in marriage, you know, get upset with each other, and there we are driving down the street. And the radio station is set to a Christian radio station. And because we're not talking, I'm like, you know what, let me turn the radio on. And here comes, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. What is this? It's a way of escape. Now, I can either turn the radio off and stay upset, or I can respond to this door that God has. Has anybody ever experienced anything like this? Ways of escape. See, we're talking about living in ongoing baptism. Not talking about, you know, I got baptized, here's my certificate. You know, I got filled with the Spirit, you don't hear me speak in tongues? No, let's get specific. Don't lie. Don't be angry. Don't give a foothold to the devil. What's the next verse say? If you are, okay, here we go. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Don't steal. Don't steal. Don't steal from God. Don't steal from the government. Don't steal from people. Don't steal. Don't steal. Don't steal from your brothers and sisters. Don't say you got a problem and you really don't have a problem. And all you want to do is get the resources just to consume upon your own lust. The Bible talks about that. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Read those first, that first sentence out of that for me. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Now, here's another one. Verse 29. Let's all read this one together. Let's go. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear. See, the more I meditate on a scripture like that, the more it begins to form my words. And everything that I say comes out with encouragement, even if my habit in the past was I curse a lot, or I'd say foul language. Now that I am learning how to be in him, I use these kinds of words. What's the next verse say? And do not bring sorrow to God. That's what I was saying before. Don't bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. So you got a brand on you. You belong to God. You belong to God. So what's the brand? I'm filled with the Spirit. I have baptized to let everybody know I'm filled with the Spirit. So now I don't want to grieve the Spirit. I don't want to shoo that dove away. There he is, resting on my shoulder. There he is, filled with, he's walking with me. He's talking with me. Terry, don't say it, don't say it, don't say it. Oh, you said it. Okay. Let's work on that. Now, if I said it, lightning's not coming to strike. That's what happened with me and my brothers and sisters when we were little. We grew up in a Christian household, but it was strict teaching in the church. And so we would be walking around thinking, oh, man, if I say one thing wrong, God's going to strike me down by lightning. In fact, that's the way me and my brothers could tell and sisters could tell if you were telling the truth. You know, mom said, we're going to get this. Really? Yup. Say God can strike me down by lightning. And if you couldn't say it, that meant you were lying. But that's a fear thing. God's not giving us a spirit of fear that every step you make, it's going to bring a thunderbolt if it's the wrong step. No. But it does keep you close to him. It does allow you to hear him better. And so let's not grieve Holy Spirit. He's my coach. He's my guide. He's my helper. So while he's trying to talk to you, listen to him. And every act of obedience takes you to a higher place in God. So listen to the Holy Spirit. What's the next verse say? Here it is, verse 31. Get rid of bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, slander, as well as all types of behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God, through Christ, has forgiven you. Now, what's the goal? Write Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 32, and you go home and you meditate on it. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me with this. Write it out. Memorize it. And when it comes time to apply it, apply it. Ask his power to apply it. I was starting to talk to you about those Bible translations a while ago, and you can tell there's a different kind of teaching today. Today, we just dive in right in on how to live for God. My goal is not to inspire you today and get a lot of hallelujahs and amens. My goal is not to have Naomi or Chayton play behind so that there's presence-based teaching. No. My goal today is to give you the word of God and to pierce the darkness with every kind of thought that the enemy has tried to bring in your life. Any kind of habit that has tried to stay in your life post-baptism in water or a baptism with a sign of tongues and gifts. Because giftings, they come without repentance. There are people who pray in who speak in tongues. There are people who prophesy. There are people who have the gift of healing. There are people who have the gift of discerning and discernment of spirits. And they still are not living a life like they are filled with the Spirit of God. So my goal today is to exhort you, is to push you to new life. We should not leave the house of God and go back and put on the same dirty clothes. When we are washed and when we come up new, now say, Holy Spirit, help me to endure when it gets hard. Endurance, pressing, but it takes practice. Takes practice. James, the first chapter. Let's go to it real quick. James chapter 1, and we're going to go from verse 2, I think, to verse 5. Look at what it says. Consider it holy or fully joyful, my brother. So he's talking to Christians. Whenever you are enveloped in or encounter trials of any sort or fall into various temptations. In other words, I'm in the middle of a trial, or there's a temptation that I'm in, and the Bible says, get excited. Get excited. One of the pastors that I oversee, I remember when him and his wife got married, and I remember them coming to our house. You know, they were coming just to hang out, because make sure we provide covering and all that kind of stuff. You know, this is years ago, this is maybe, I don't know, 18 years ago. I say 18 because they just celebrated their 19th anniversary. And so, so here they are. Show up at the door. And when they show up at the door, I could see it. I could see almost like there's a cloud of anger on them. And I'm like, hey, you know, hey, y'all. And they're like, And then I said this to them during premarital counseling. I said, I can't wait for you guys to have an argument. I can't wait. I don't care about anniversaries. I don't care about birthdays. I don't care about promotions. That's good, and I'll celebrate with you. But, man, I want to know about the rough stuff. Because when it gets rough, you're about to get stronger. Exercising is about to take place. You're about to get sharp. So they came in, and they're like, hey, what happened? And they're like, why are you laughing? I said, look, this is what we're working on. You don't have something solid, and that's whether it's a marriage, whether you as an individual Christian, doesn't matter. You don't get sharp until the trial comes. Look what it says here. Be assured and understand that the trial and proving of your faith bring out, what's the word? Endurance and steadfastness and patience. This is one of my favorite passages because of the way it's described. Verse 4 says, but let allow endurance and steadfastness and patience to have full play. In other words, don't stop the recording. Play that song all the way out. It says, let it have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfectly and fully developed with no defects. I want to pause there on the no defects. And some of us, we have defects in our lives. And we have defects in our lives that we've had in our lives for decades. All because we won't allow that trial song or that temptation song to allow the endurance to play fully out. He says, I want you to go through this thing. Oh, I resisted the devil and he didn't flee. How long did you resist him? Well, I said, devil, go, and then he was still there. Endurance means that I am doing this for a long time. That's where the long-suffering piece comes in. Endurance. I was watching a race. It was a marathon. It was just one of those long races where it takes about, you know, 8 laps or whatever. And they're running, and they're running, and they continue. And you could see those who were slowing down. But, man, those first two girls, they just kept going. And then you saw the first girl, when it got to the last 2 laps, she began to pull away. And I'm like, Lord, how is she doing that? And how come the girl that was right next to her isn't staying with her? Endurance. She has practiced. She has exercised in such a way she's reached that level. And now God's not calling us to compete with each other. He is calling us to run our own race. And we win our own race. And we do it with endurance, with the power of the Holy Spirit. So you're not going to run like me, and you're not trying to beat me, and I'm not trying to beat you. I'm just trying to make sure that the enemy does not have play in my life, and that my flesh and my mind, my will, and my emotions are all dedicated to the Spirit of God. And in order to be that man that is thoroughly nourished, it's going to be important for me to stay filled with the Spirit and press, even when it gets difficult. Stay with me. We press, even when it gets difficult. Look at what he says. But let endurance and steadfastness have, and patience, have full play and do a thorough work so that you may be people perfect. Say these words. Say, Father, help me with the endurance. Because I want to be perfectly and fully developed with no defects, lacking nothing. See, those are prayers. And when you meditate on the Word of God, you end up coming up with a prayer like that. Instead of just reading it and then closing the book, say, no, Father, I want this to be worked in me. Holy Spirit, help me. And I promise you, Holy Spirit, I will listen to you. Stay close. I got that way of keeping Holy Spirit close because I got tired of apologizing to him. Because he would tell me something, and I wouldn't listen, and the dust would settle. I'd be like, oh, Holy Spirit, I am so sorry that I didn't listen to you. You know, Holy Spirit is a person. He's a person. Imagine living with somebody and doing the same thing and then every day apologizing. At some point, you'll be like, oh, okay, we're going to work this out because I'm so sorry, and I do not want to keep apologizing to you like this. Unlike another person, the Holy Spirit can give you the power. Did you hear that part? Unlike a person that you're always apologizing to, the Holy Spirit can give you the power so that you can achieve the purpose that you're setting out. And so after a while, I'm like, Holy Spirit, help me. And I started slowing down. He showed me how to slow down. So I wouldn't go into trials or I wouldn't go into temptations so fast that I'm reacting, I'm responding, you know, just the knee-jerk reaction. Then it's like, oh, gosh, I said it again. Oh, I went there again. Now I walk slow enough. Holy Spirit, show me. He's like, remember that? Ah, yes, I see it coming. And now he starts showing me things that are happening. And then he starts showing me what the trial is trying to do to me. He shows me the enemy's plans. And it's not because I'm some Bible scholar. No, it is just that I am learning how to be a Christian that is filled with the Spirit and getting real-time intel. Because Jesus said, the standard is this, and you can do exactly what I'm doing. This is what Jesus said. I only say what I hear the Father say. And I only do what I see the Father do. Holy Spirit is the one that helped him. And he says, when I leave, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. And he's going to help you do the same thing. So if you are that person, let's be real specific here. If you are that person that says things that you don't want to say and does things that you do not want to do, keep Holy Spirit close. It doesn't matter. Old or young, male, female, doesn't matter your denomination, doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. This is not about time served. This is about you allowing the Holy Spirit to come into your life. I have seen people get born again and start yielding to God right away, and in comparison to someone who has been born again for decades, they are moving up and up and up and up in God. And the other person is still bound up with the same things. Because they won't say yes to the Holy Spirit. So invite him in right now. Put your hand on your chest. This is a practice, but do it with intention. Say, Holy Spirit, fill me with the knowledge of the Father's will. And Holy Spirit, strengthen me to live out the Father's plan for my life. Every day, every hour. Every moment in Jesus' name. Now walk like that all day long. When you get in the car, he gets in the car. When you go in the kitchen, he gets in the kitchen. When you're in the bathroom, he's in the bathroom. When you go in the bedroom, he's in the bedroom. When you pick up your phone, he's right there. When you type in that website, he's right there. When you're on the phone talking to that person about that person, he's right there. When you're driving, he's right there. So let him in. Look at the next verse. If any of you is deficient in wisdom, in other words, you get into the middle of one of these trials, you get in the middle of one of these temptations, if you are deficient in wisdom, or if you lack wisdom, or if you don't know how to navigate through all of this, it says, let him ask of God, who gives to everyone liberally. And he doesn't do it with a grudge, and he doesn't do it reproaching, and he doesn't do it fault-finding. He gives it freely. It's the enemy that comes and says, don't ask God about it, don't bring it up, don't say nothing to anybody. No, that's the time where you speak up and say, Holy Spirit, how do I do this? How do I do this? I'm running into the same situation over and over. How do I get out of this? And the Holy Spirit will give it to you in your spirit, or he will give it to you with a resource, or many times he will give you someone that you can trust. But I will tell you this. The enemy is trying to capture you. The reason I'm teaching on this is because the Holy Spirit has given me insight to teach on this. And he doesn't want this where there is shame and regret and fear. He is trying to uncover those areas in your lives that you have gotten comfortable. Comfortable in gossip, comfortable in slander, comfortable with lust, comfortable with pride, comfortable with anger and bitterness and unforgiveness, comfortable And he's not waving the accusing finger. He's saying, son, daughter, I want you free. I want you to look like me. I want you free, and I want you free to be used. And unfortunately, we go back to our houses, and we are bound up. And then we come into the house of God, and we put on these masks. Some of us have been arguing on the way to the church. And then we walk in with these masks and we're putting up hands that are not hands of those that are filled with the Spirit. And the Father says, son, daughter, I love you. Be free. But you can only be free in the Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. The Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Last passage I'll read to you is in Hebrews chapter 5. I told you, this is one of those messages. This is one of those messages. It's a little bit challenging. But he washes us so that we can be clean. Look at verse 11. Concerning this, we have a lot of things to say. We have much to say, which is hard to explain. Since you have become dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish, and even slothful or lazy in achieving spiritual insight. Now, before we go to verse 13, let's unpack what he's saying. He's saying, I have some things that I want to talk to you about up here. Now, he's telling this group the same things that he told another group in the church at Corinth. There's another church that was in Corinth. He said the same thing. He said, I want to talk to you as spiritual, but I can't. He says, I have to talk to you as babies because you can't understand certain things. So look what he says. Concerning certain things, we got a lot of things to say, but it's hard to explain because you've become dull in your spiritual hearing and sluggish and even slothful in achieving spiritual insight. Look at verse 12. For even though by this time you ought to be teaching others, you actually need someone to teach you over again the very first principles of God's word. You have come to need milk and not solid food. And here's a picture of the description of food. For everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine of righteousness, of conformity to the divine will in purpose, thought, and action. That's how you know if you're in right standing with God, how you know that you're walking in righteousness is that, and spirituality is that, the opinion of God is your opinion. The attitude of God is your attitude. That's why I say, if somebody's done something to you, be quick to forgive. Because God's attitude is forgive. Even above faith, he says, what, you want to move that mountain and you want to use your words to do it while you stand praying? Forgive. Forgive. He says, even if you're going to bring an offering, he says, if you've got something against another person, leave your offering and go and get that thing straight. Relational peace is critical with God. Alignment is critical with God. For everyone who continues to feed on milk is obviously inexperienced and unskilled in the doctrine and the righteousness of conformity to the divine will and purpose, thought, and action. For he is a mere infant, not able to talk yet. He's given a picture. Look at verse 14. But solid food. These are big statements. And everything that we've given out today, this is solid food. Giving you solid food. He is pushing you, not with just nice songs, not with just nice words. He is pushing you to grow up and to grow up spiritually. But solid food is for full-grown men or women, for those whose senses and faculties are trained. How are they trained? By practice to discriminate and to distinguish between what is morally good and noble, and what is evil, and contrary to either divine or human law. One translation says, it is for those who by reason of use have had their senses sharpened so that they can discern between what God is saying, what my flesh is saying, and what the devil is saying. See, three are always talking. You say, oh, the devil made me do it. No, you had a choice in that. And so when you endure, your senses become sharpened. And this is for everybody. You know, I was talking with a group of pastors, letting them know, hey, don't gossip about other pastors. I was talking to congregations, hey, don't gossip about pastors. Hey, those who have had other things going on, forgive your brothers and sisters quick. I mean, even in a setting like this, oh, trust me, in a setting like this, the enemy is even whispering to some of you about me. He's whispering. What's he talking about? He's preaching. We don't need to be hearing this. We need to hear something else. Let your senses be sharpened so that you can hear. This is the word of God. And this is the word of God for my life. No one in here needs to say, hey, he's talking to somebody else. He ain't talking to me. This is for each of us. From here all the way back, we must yield to the Spirit of God so that the Spirit of God can create intimate moments with God, and then the Spirit of God can empower us to go and bless others. And we have to do the work. We got to put the work in. We got to put the work in. We must put the work in. What is the work? Is it performance? No. The work is yielding. Holy Spirit, fill me. 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 So the word for the day is endurance. But you are not enduring on your own. You are enduring with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Bow your heads. Father, thank you for moments like these. We appreciate, Father, all the food that we get to eat. Thank you, Father, for the desserts and even the fruit. But for days like this, Father, we are grateful for the vegetables. We're grateful for the herbs, things that clean us out. Thank you for the hyssop that you're purging us with. And Father, we thank you that you're doing it in love, that you care about us and you want us free. So I release your grace right now over every family that is here, Father. Families that have said, I choose life. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Families. And make decisions that we will love and forgive. In purity of heart, we will say the kinds of words that are edifying and ministering grace. Thank you, Father, for helping us to speak truth. No lies. Thank you. Thank you for shining the light on areas of lust that bring bondage. Thank you for shining the areas in our lives, Father, with light that produce peace, not division. Homes that are filled with laughter and the peace that you've provided, no one can take away. We appreciate you, Lord. And today we dedicate our lives to you, fresh and new. And Father, if we have to apologize to some, help us, Holy Spirit, to apologize. And if we have to forgive others, help Holy Spirit to forgive. Help us to forgive. The habits of stealing and the habits of lust, including fornication and adultery and things that we've done with our eyes and imaginations and our hearts, Lord, we ask you to just wash us this morning. Wash us. wash us. But show us how to live. Show us how to live. Strengthen us with might to not just know your will, but also desire your will. Help us, Lord. So everyone, I would like for you just to lean forward on the bench that's in front of you. Just lean forward. Lean forward on the bench. Those of you that are in the front row, just lean with, you know, your head and your elbows, lean towards your knees. Those that are standing out in the narthex, in the lobby area, just bow your heads, lean on the wall. I want you to say these words, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. I give you access to every area of my life. Help me to endure and rid me through the endurance of every defect. Holy Spirit, come. Now in silence for a moment, just in the silence of your own space, have a conversation with the Lord, just all over the room. Have a conversation with him. Let it be real, let it be true. He sees, he knows everything. He's just looking for a complete surrender. So those private things you need to say to him, say them now.